Good evening. It's time again for another bedtime story with Thompson. We're reading from The Swiss Family Robinson by Johann Wyss. This is Chapter 3, The Nonsuch Bridge. "Fritz, get your gun ready," I cried. "Fire the moment the shark is close enough." Moving with the speed of lightning, the fish headed for the boat. Reaching the animals first, it attacked one of the sheep. Fritz fired two shots, which hit the shark in the head. Wounded, the creature turned in the water and hurried off to sea, leaving a long, bloody trail. Breathing a sigh of relief, we quickly guided our craft into shore. As we landed, Elizabeth and the boys came running up to welcome us home. Laughing loudly at the sight of the animals in life jackets, the boys helped remove them. One by one, the animals went lumbering down the sandy shore to explore their new island home. "I have something for you, my dear," I said, handing Elizabeth the ham from one of the tubs. "This will feed us for some time to come." "And I have found something in the sand that will make a delicious side dish," she answered, smiling. With that, she produced a dozen turtle eggs she had been hiding behind her back. "See, father," said Ernest, "they're just like the ones Robinson Crusoe found on his island." "What a wonderful supper we shall have," cried Francis, clapping his hands. That night, Elizabeth spread a tablecloth on the end of the butter cask and set the table with the plates and spoons from the ship. She placed the ham in the middle, with cheeses and a turtle omelet on either side. By and by, all the animals came and assembled around us as we ate this tasty meal. We felt like the kings of a grand new country. As we were finishing this feast, Elizabeth burst out, "I cannot wait to tell you my news. While you were gone, I decided to see for myself what the land on the other side of the creek was like, and I found the most beautiful woods you could ever imagine. Actually, it is a grove of 14 of the tallest and broadest trees in the world, and each tree is supported on either side by giant arches formed from the roots. I do believe it's the perfect spot for our new home." "But, my dear, we are fine right here," I protested. "We are near the ship, which still has some valuable supplies on board, and we are protected on all sides by these rocks." "But wild animals could leap over those rocks in a minute," Elizabeth argued gently. "And I have everything I want from the ship. Besides, it frightens me to have you sailing that treacherous sea." "We shall have to give the matter careful consideration," I said. "If we are to leave this place, we will have to build a bridge across the river." "But that will take such a long time," Elizabeth cried. Despite Elizabeth's concern, the construction of the bridge, the Nonsuch Bridge, as we called it, took place in only one day. Luckily, we found all the timber and planks we needed on a nearby islet and carried them back to our island on the boat. Then we harnessed the cow and the mule with ropes so they could pull the lumber to the site of the bridge. With the lumber there, I had to devise a plan for laying the timbers across the 18-foot expanse of river. After much deliberation, I decided first to attach one end of a plank to the trunk of a tree by a long cord. I then fastened a second long cord to the other end of the plank. To the free end of the cord I tied a rock, which I then tossed across to the opposite bank. I immediately crossed the river and fastened a pulley onto a tree there. Untying the rock, I then passed the loose end of the cord through the pulley. With this cord in my hand, I recrossed the river. Next, I attached the cord to the mule and the cow, who slowly but surely began to move. Braying and mooing all the while, they gradually pulled the plank across the river. To my great joy, I saw it touch the other side and become permanently fixed there. "We did it! We did it! We built the bridge!" yelled Fritz as he and Jack bounded quickly over it. We laid a second and a third plank the same way, and soon we had a broad and handsome bridge over which to safely travel. Once the bridge was completed, we loaded all our provisions on the cow and the mule, with each of us carrying a gun and a sack of goods. We were ready to move. Francis climbed on the mule, and the little monkey rode on Turk's back, making a thousand funny faces as he bounced along. All the other animals trailed behind us. After our caravan crossed over Nonsuch Bridge, we passed through the high grass. The dogs lingered behind in the grass, howling loudly. Finally, the older boys ran back to see what the trouble was. "Father, come quickly," Jack called. "Here is a monstrous porcupine." By the time I reached the spot, Turk and Flora were running frantically to and fro with bleeding noses. As they circled the frightened animal, the porcupine pierced them deeply once again with its sharp quills. This time they howled even louder. Jack quickly took a pistol from his belt and shot the porcupine dead. The boys crowded round the extraordinary animal, hoping to drag it along with them. But unfortunately, its quills were too deadly, and they were forced to abandon it. Not long afterward, we entered the place of the tall trees which had so intrigued Elizabeth. "What trees! What height! What trunks!" I exclaimed. "I have never seen anything like them. This is indeed the place we shall make our home. Why, there's not an animal alive that could reach a house in those trees." Suddenly, Francis came running up. His mouth was crammed full of something as he called out, "Mother, mother, look at the wonderful fruit I have found." "For goodness sakes, you shouldn't eat anything unless you know what it is. You could be poisoned and die." With that, Elizabeth opened his mouth and removed the remains of a fig. "A fig," I cried. "Where did you get it?" "In the grass, Papa, under these big trees. And there are many more. I thought they must be good to eat because all the animals are eating them. Watch this." And Francis handed a fig to the little monkey, who turned it round and round, smelled it, and popped it right into his mouth. "Bravo, Mr. Monkey," cried Jack and Fritz. "Now, boys," I said, "we must make a ladder that will reach the tall branches of our beautiful fig trees." "Papa," said Ernest, "I saw some bamboo canes in a marsh near the shore. They'll make a fine ladder. Let's go get some." Ernest, Fritz, and I set off for the shore. We cut the bamboo into 5-foot-long pieces and tied them in a bundle. Just as we were leaving to head for home, we heard a noise in the thicket. The boys and I jumped back, but Flora, who had accompanied us, pricked up her ears and dashed into the brush. Before we knew what was happening, Flora was locked in deadly combat with a wild, screeching jungle animal. End of chapter 3. Ooh, that's exciting. Did you like how he mentioned Robinson Crusoe? It's like he was making a little... That's called an homage. That means like you're acknowledging the work of someone else inside your own work. That's a pretty cool thing.
Dad, let's read more chapters.
We will soon, my son. But that's all for tonight. Good night.
Good night.